Good morning. It is sure good to see so many faces out there. Some of you we know very well as visitors. Some of you we are getting to know, and some of you it's our first time. And we thank you for coming and joining with us here this morning, your honored guest. We would like to encourage you to stay around for a few minutes and let us get to know you better. For those traveling, you're an encouragement to us. We know the temptations that exist when you're in a new place, and we appreciate you being with us here this morning. I'm often joyed by the instant bond we have with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ through our Lord, Savior, and Jesus Christ. In every aspect of our worship service this morning, we are committed to a very simple desire to follow the teachings of 1 Peter 4:11, where it says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." There is no truth that can be created, a life lesson developed, or a more impactful saying delivered than what God has carefully and meticulously preserved through His holy word, the Bible. If you witnessed this morning something new or different, or if you simply have a question about anything you've observed, please don't hesitate to speak to us about that. Every single one of us here this morning has a simple goal that we read in John 4:24, that God is spirit. A recognition of that, and that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. This morning, for a few minutes, I would like to explore something that is probably not very new to many of us. There's a song that many of us probably have sang from our early childhood, "This Little Light of Mine." But it's sometimes in these simple messages we grow complacent. We forget. I know this has been very impactful for me and my family over the last several weeks as we've prepared. I hope this will help you to be look back and consider and reflective on where you are. We're going to talk about light and darkness and what it means to be in the light. God uses light and darkness throughout the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, to contrast good and evil, or more specifically, righteousness to sinfulness. Let us look at 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 4 and 15, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Beelzebub or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" In today's society, with all of our modern farm equipment and the invention of the diesel engine, unequally yoked is maybe a more foreign concept. So I found this picture. There's a reason God used this concept of not to be unequally yoked. No farmer would ever approach a field with this setup. He would be unproductive. He wouldn't get anything done. And that is the point that we read in this passage. We can clearly see that light is being represented as believers, righteousness, and Christ. And that darkness is being described as the unbeliever, as the lawless one, and as Satan. God is not just telling His people to be the light, but He's instructing. He is mandating us not to be to join together with, yoked, or have any part of darkness. Understanding God's view of these two forces, let's take a quick moment and think about what we've heard, how the world defines light and darkness, how they see them connected. And while there are very many different views on this topic, I want us to look at two, and I think they summarize overall the thought process well. Good and evil balance each other out. And then the second thought is that one cannot exist without the other. They're interdependent. It's important for us to think about how our culture defines words, because they can impact our thoughts, our views, our paradigms. Think about the movies we see. You always have the hero and the villain. They fight and depend on one another. But we also have well-established religious views. The one that is most common is the Chinese yin and yang. They represent two totally different forces. They represent a good versus an evil. And per their philosophy, they are, by necessity, interdependent. Yin and yang cannot exist without the other, and they are never separate. What I find interesting, though, is how both of these thoughts, the good and the evil, balance each other out, and that one cannot exist without the other, are inconsistent with what we observe in nature. Let us consider your closet on a stormy night where the power goes out. You turn a lamp or a flashlight on to make it brighter. What do? You add more light. To make it brighter, I cannot take darkness and move it out of the closet. I must add light. Therefore, in science, we define darkness is the absence of light. This is a very important fact, and it impacts how we view light and darkness, good and evil, as we live on this earth. Light and dark are not two halves which are independent. Instead, darkness is fully dependent on the absence of light. I came across this picture as I was studying this topic. We have a dark room, a single match, and a hand. What immediately caught my attention was that the shadow or the light had no darkness. But we do see darkness in the match and the reflection of the shadow of the hand. And I couldn't help but think about 1 John 1 and 5. 1 John 1 and 5, as I consider this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Let me be clear, this world will always have darkness, but we're to mimic God, who is completely righteous, holy, and has no darkness. This is extremely important for us to understand and grasp. First of all, it contradicts a lot of what the world believes. It informs us of the character of God. And by necessity, what the followers of God will strive for, even though we will never achieve this fully. Please turn with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Comprehended. It did not make it their own or take into themselves. What did they not take in? The light. Let us consider this morning, God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, brought the purest light that will ever be present in the form of man on this earth. There were a ton of prophecies in the Old Testament that informed the Jews how to recognize the Messiah. Wouldn't it be easy for us to think today, wow, if I just saw one miracle done by this man, I would recognize him as the Messiah, as the light. Or what if I remembered four or five prophecies that I studied and learned in the old law, and they all were coming to fruition in this man? How exciting this would be. But what happened? It was the rejection of the light that is so vividly laid out for us in the first several chapters of the New Testament. But it's not just with Jesus. Every single time God sent special messages, the undeniable light into the world, for His beloved creation, what happened? What about with the prophets? How they were persecuted, rejected, and even killed? Or with Israel being led out of Egypt? On their exodus to Canaan, they murmured that it would be better for them to be back under bondage. And ultimately, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the most perfect form of light that the world will ever know, they crucified Him. An important question for us this morning is, why did this happen? It's not like we just read about it happening one time. We read it over and over and over again throughout the entire Bible. And it is often with those that were supposed to know the difference between light and darkness. In Ephesians 5, 11 through 13, Ephesians 5, and starting in verse 11, we're introduced to several important truths that should give us deep consideration. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. The light exposes, that is, it makes known darkness and lawlessness. When you are in a dark room and walk out into the bright sun, it hurts. The same thing can be said of what happens when the light exposes darkness in our lives, especially when we have not been doing what is right, but yet we have felt what we are doing is right. We see the repeated command, do not be unequally yoked with darkness. God commanded and expects light to be separated from darkness. But He also expects that we read and study His Word. That we don't feel what is right, but we learn what is right through Scriptures. Were the Jews not committed to religious things? I know Deuteronomy and Leviticus are on the top of your favorite two books in the entire Bible. But I want us to consider, in a world that the message was not written down, that each of us could have, the effort, the time, and the energy to remember the laws of the Mosaic age. Consider the tithing that occurred that was mandated, well over 30% of their belongings. They never got to keep the best for themselves. It was reserved and given to God. Everything about the old law showed man that no matter what they did, they could not pay the debt of sin. Think about the parents in Deuteronomy. The commandment to engulf every day from sun up till sundown your child in the Word of God. They were committed to something beyond themselves. And yet the majority of Jews in nearly every generation missed the mark. Throughout the entire Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, we just finished the study of Romans. We constantly refer to the remnant. The remnant that were dedicated to the truth. The remnant that were dedicated to God. The remnant that separated themselves from darkness. And those Gentiles, in Acts 17, 22 and 23, we see Paul approach them. Men of Athens, I perceive. That means to ascertain, I find out that in all things you are very religious. Some translations use the term superstitious. What that means is being devout without knowledge of the true God. Devout without the knowledge of the true God. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship, through the one you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. We see these two examples, both the Jews and with the Gentiles, worshiping, regularly attending service, but they were not what? In the light. We must acknowledge this and take note. These were people who sincerely put effort towards something bigger than themselves. They recognized they had to do things differently. The problem was they did not. They could not. And they would not see that they were actually in darkness. How did they not know they were in darkness? Or that they were being deceived? And how can we fall victim to the same trap? I believe the following three verses are going to provide us some key insight. And I also want to notice that all three of these are coming from the old law. This has always been the message of God. In Jeremiah 10 and 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. In Isaiah 55, 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God is clearly explaining that it is not within ourselves. It is not within this physical realm to understand who we are called to be. But thanks be to God. He has provided us the answer as we read in Psalms 119. And as we just sang in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will instruct us. It will transform us and it will guide us to the path that he has called us to walk. Remember the Jews and the Grecians? Their commitment to something bigger than themselves. In Matthew 7, in verse 21, Matthew 7 and 21 through 23, we receive a warning that is vividly clear. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Did these people the Lord was describing not perform a diligent, dedicated, determined work? Of course they did. They are described as people committed to the Lord. Not some pagan idol. They prophesied, cast out demons, and performed wonders. They didn't force their name, glory, or credit. They focused on the Lord. Yet notice the judgment. I never knew you. They were practicing lawlessness and are rejected. How many of us would have described them as we went through this passage as unrighteous, unbeliever, lawless, or living in darkness? The world we live in today has a thought. This thought is that there are thousands of different lights under the Christian banner. There are numerous denominations and non-denominations. This idea is not new. We just read in our Wednesday night class and in a study that we're doing in Mark on Fridays about the religious sects of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. In 2 Peter 2 and 1, we see a warning to the early Christians that heresies, divisions would become a reality in the very near future. But was this God's plan? In Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, please turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. We observe an unmistakable truth. And that is, there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The single question is, how willing and dedicated are each and every single one of us at uncovering, finding, discovering the single light? And when we do find it, do we have the courage? Do we have the humility to let it expose what it must expose so that we can be one with our God? Now that we have identified what light is and what darkness is, how do we live in the one true light we read about in Scriptures? The most common explanation I typically hear is that I must live a life that seeks to remove as much sin from it as physically possible. Yet when I think about the closet analogy, is this how we make the room brighter? By removing the darkness. When you try to stop a habit, there is an obvious requirement. I must stop whatever it is I'm doing. However, what happens when we do not fill the void? When we do not shine the light? Please turn with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 12 and starting in verse 43. And let us notice what happens when the unclean spirit has been removed and there remains a void. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes in and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. What do we see? Let's look at a few more passages that mimic this idea that we discussed earlier with the closet. Turn with me over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Starting in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Now look a little bit further in verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. In Psalms 1 and verse 2, in Psalm verse 2, he further enforces this fundamental principle. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. The goal, the idea here, is to fill our lives with so much light, with so much good, with so much of the gospel, that there is no room left for darkness. Recognizing the importance of God's word in our lives to live righteously in the light, I want us to think about this past week. How important was the Bible in our lives? Did we open it every single day to study it? Did we read the Bible with our children? Did we focus on the material that they're going to be studying on Sunday and Wednesday and take the onus upon ourselves to be the teachers and let the Bible classes serve as reinforcement? Did we sit down this past week with our spouse and open the Bible and discuss the message? If you're like me, you probably did a couple of these things better than others. But considering what we just read, the deceptive nature of darkness, I can't imagine a more important task of our families to daily focus on injecting the light. From 2 Peter 2, from 1 through 11, we notice this thought being continued over into the New Testament, that the instructed them to give diligence and add. That means to supply and furnish to our faith virtue. And as he goes through and lists these things that should be our focus on a daily basis, he gets to verse 8 and says, "For if these things are yours and abound," that means that they increase, "you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ." We can know the truth. It is the light, and it is the only way we can push out the darkness. And then finally in verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent." That is to exert oneself to endeavor to make call and the election sure. We see in Ephesians 5, 8 through 11 that we were once darkness, but now we live in the light. That comes with a responsibility and commandment to walk in the light and have no fellowship with darkness. In Romans 13, 11 through 14, we see that we are to cast off, we are to renounce, we are to put away darkness, and do what? Put on the armor of light. Notice there is no provision, no room for flesh, darkness, and sin. We are to fully, completely fill ourselves with the light, and we are then to walk in that light. In 1 Timothy 6 and 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue." Flee. That is to shun or avoid something abhorrent. And then pursue. That is to seek after eagerly. Earnestly endeavor to acquire what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. For some reason, it has become a popular belief that we can't achieve righteousness. We can't go a day without sinning, or that we must always be referred to as a sinner. This morning, from the very beginning, we have read passage after passage that articulates there is a difference of the life we lived when we were lost and in darkness, and the life we accept when we accept Jesus Christ. We're baptized and we put on light. We will never, ever, ever reach perfection, and I'm not trying to articulate that this morning. But every single day that we are in the light, we should be working closer and closer to the most perfect and purest light form that has ever been on this earth. The example that is in the Scriptures, that is Jesus Christ. John 8 and 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light, but have the light of life. God is love, He is light, and He is righteousness. It is, but remember what we read just a few minutes ago. It is not in man to guide his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. To know our ways, Isaiah 55:8. It's the Bible that is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Psalms 119:105. Now that we know the difference between light and darkness, and as we come to a close this morning, we've also discussed the dangers of not finding the one true light, being deceived, and how to live in the light, there is one more thing for us to consider, and that is, do we let our light shine? As we go through these next couple verses, as we close today, think about this. When was the last time you let your light shine? Had a Bible study with someone that is more of a stranger than a friend? When was the last time you spoke to someone about God? When there are difficult conversations, when people around us are giving their thoughts and opinions willfully and joyfully on homosexuality, abortion, how the Bible is a book of fables. Is it at that moment we let our light shine, or do we dim it? Do we hide it? In a world that is concerned about themselves, are we more focused on the purity and the humility that is of God and that we are a reflection of Him? We are called to be a light of the world. And we see that in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And if it gives light to all who are in the house, let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is rearticulated in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. He commanded light to shine out of darkness. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice in these passages, it is not us that is seeking to gain glory, praise, honor, recognition. We are a reflection. We are giving the glory and the honor and praise to God. I want to challenge ourselves on two things as you go and as you approach this week. Sometimes it's very hard. I know there's a lot said in a lesson and a sermon, and as we leave, life happens. Things overwhelm us. Many, I would venture to guess most of us know that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. If you have children, sing it to them this week. And as you sing it to them, think about the words we've talked about today. And then I want to challenge ourselves to consider. All light requires fuel. And our fuel can only be found in the Bible. If the Bible is not essential element of your life, I strongly encourage you to evaluate how you can know the difference between light and darkness. And second is a question, and maybe it's better termed as a challenge. Do you let your light shine? Are you talking to others about the gospel? Or is your excitement, is your joy in what you converse about more about things to do with this world? Politics, sports, family, you name it. This morning we've looked at a lot of scriptures together. In summary, let us recap. We have talked about light versus darkness and how important it is to distinguish between the two. And it's the truth that darkness is the absence of light. We've also looked at the one true light, that is, understanding there is only one light, and the devastating consequences of not finding it. We've also discussed how critical it is, if we're going to walk in the light, to treasure the Word of God, as it is a lamp unto our feet. To defeat darkness, we must constantly sleep and be completely filled with light. And lastly, we're commanded by God to let our light shine in this dark, sinful, and lost world. In closing, I want to read one last passage, Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If you have not obeyed the gospel, you have this promise that was given to all mankind of light, to salvation and peace, but it can only be found in Jesus Christ. What we all deserve is death, but through God's grace, we've been given an avenue to be reconciled. Have you heard the word? Do you believe it? Are you ready to repent and change your life to everything that the light exposes? Will you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And will you be baptized into His death to rise up a new man? If you are ready to leave the darkness this morning, we encourage you to come forward. But if not, when that time comes, please do not delay. The invitation is always open. If you have accepted God and you are in the light, but this morning you've become aware that you have fallen into darkness, we're here to encourage and pray for you as you repent and rejoin the light. If there's anything we can do, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Again, we want to thank everyone for coming out this morning.